What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Rapidly detached it as soon as I was done recording this episode, so this may not be fully connected, so I'll try to speak a little bit louder if I can. And yes, that music in the background is Anvil of Chrome by Basil Poldarius, or whatever the fuck his name is, the soundtrack to Conan the Barbarian. Quite suitable for today's episode. Haven't done one of these in a while. It was a roundtable discussion where we had a whole group of guys on, you know, because we're fucking men, a bunch of dude bros. We had Carl from WATP. We had the Aussie guy from United States of Australia. We had Quadfather from BYB. We had Eckle from, fuck, how many shows has he got? Pint, Dabble, Pint. What's the fucking one with the Ricky Gervais one he does? Oh, What's Your Handle? And of course, he's on the United States of Australia a lot. And of course, making his, it's his return, not debut, the great Phil Marks, host of Pro Wrestle Times, and of course, Phil Marks Out, which I was just on quite recently reviewing Fantastic Four, basically, I reviewed Fantastic Four somewhere. So if you find it, I'm sure you will enjoy it wherever the fuck I was on. So anyway, in the last couple of weeks, not only has the Dabbleverse itself become overly dramatic and full of shit, but the actual, one of the titans of the radio and podcasting world, Howard Stern, seems to be finally at an end. And of course, What would I be if not someone trying to cash in on the potential end of Howard Stern? So we've got that coming up. We got, of course, Opie and Anthony talk. We've got Adam Carolla talk. We've got a little bit more insider Dabbleverse stuff. But I would advise everybody, go check out the video version on YouTube. You'll get to see all kinds of hilarity and sweat and people struggling to stay awake and all kinds of shit. That's over at Huge Entertainment on YouTube. Just hit the like button, leave a comment, share, all that shit. Do everything you can to make sure that the algorithm stays active and helps me out down the line. And if you're feeling generous, become a YouTube member. It will unlock a lot of exclusive content, and it just helps me do whatever it is that I do with money. Also, I'm at the Huge on Twitter, at the Huge on Instagram. And that's everything, really, because we're now going to go into this great episode that has call. In fact, you know what? I'm not going to list the names. I'm just going to say hello. No, what we're going to do is say thank you for downloading this episode. And Carl, Dane, Phil, Eckel, Quad, hello. Hughesy stumbled through the door, glassy eyes and wanted more. Whiskey breath that screamed out loud. In the bar, he was the crowd. Stories flying off his tongue, songs of battles lost and won. Every sip, another tale. In the pub, he'd never fail. Hughesy swings and Hughesy sways. Shamrock nights and funny days. Raise a glass and cheer. Yes, that's right. I've got sunglasses on because of hay fever. And I got to say that Sydney Sweeney has got great jeans. And Perth, Australia has got great Danes. Dane, how are you doing today with your secret code name, the Aussie Guy?
Have you had that joke in the bank for a couple of weeks, have you?
No, right off the spot. Yeah. How's Perth?
It's Perth.
Excellent. This is going great so far.
Isn't it?
But of course, up next, we've got just to add some diversity, we'd like to add an Asian looking guy to the thing. Quad, yeah, how you doing today?
Homo Hughesy. Hey, how's it going, Hughesy?
Butchers are sexy.
And to make the rage grow, because we've always got someone that always drives us fucking insane. Need an English guy to join us. Eckel, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you, Hughesy. How's it going?
I love CP.
And I think making his debut on one of these sort of non-fucking film talk roundtables, we've got the lovely and mysterious Phil Marks. Phil, how are you doing today?
Did you say you have gay fever, Hughesy?
A little bit.
Okay, all right. I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Fiddle diddle with you, wibbly wobblies.
And, of course, the main guest of today, the king of all of the dude bros, the lovely Carl from WTP. Carl, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic, Hughesy. I do have a heart out today. Good to see you, buddy.
I'm a you have a heart on too? Nerd who likes to sleep with little girls.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, of course, we've got six dude bros here together, and if there's one thing that unites dude bros, it's this riff. Excellent. So we're going to start with the obvious big topic at the minute, Carl. Howard Stern. It's all up in the air right now. Is he done? Is he retired? Is he been fired? Is he resigning? Whatever. My big question to you, though, Carl, is that even if just say he was done right now, would that mean, based on how his recent career has been, do you think that Stern has actually ruined his legacy, or do you think that right now he'll always go down as a big radio legend?
Well, everyone will remember the good old days for sure, but he's definitely ruined his legacy. If he came out with a podcast next month, people would check it out for curiosity's sake, but no one would listen to it. He's become a terrible broadcaster. I think the most interesting part about this whole series, of course, he's not getting fired. His contract is up, and they're not going to pay him $100 million a year anymore. He's not worth it, not even close. He has like 125,000 listeners he's maxing out at. So I think the real thing that's interesting here is what happens to the archives. Who gets control of that? Does SiriusXM purchase that? Do they continue to air the old episodes on SiriusXM? And then are they censored the way they are now? Do we get to hear Artie? Segments again? Do we get to hear all these segments with Daniel Carver and some of the, you know, things that Howard's trying to scrub from his past for his new Hollywood persona?
Yeah, but that's the thing, that if his archive, like, if just say he set up a Howard Stern Archives YouTube channel, he's fucked, because half that stuff you can't say. All the good stuff that got people into the show. I think that even though he's going to retire stinking rich, I think he is done, and I think we'll see him get kicked off pretty soon. But Quad, what's your take on the Stern situation?
Yeah, absolutely. They're gonna offer him probably like $20 million when the time comes for it. But I mean, really, they're just floating media stories out there to see what everyone's thinking about this. But yeah, they can't afford to pay Howard Stern $100 million ever again. He's not worth the money. He's getting like 125,000 views a show. It's just not what it used to be. There used to be 20 million people listening to a show. It's not what it was. It's a shell of what it used to be. And at best, he'll be doing Opie style podcasts on YouTube. Similar. They'll both be out there in the Hamptons, wherever they are, by the ocean, talking to a few people.
Just a few days ago, he had Lars Ulrich on the show, and I have no idea why they insist on having Lars on, because Stern is clearly not a Metallica fan. He doesn't do research on Lars, and it's always the same conversation since the mid-90s. But Aussie guy, you're a big-time Metallica guy, and of course Stern. What do you think is the status with him? Do you think he's done, or are you secretly gay?
Definitely secretly gay. Just reading your scroll here, Husey. What to help with vinyl collection? What's going on there? Is that some Irish term? Anyway, it's one of those things. I don't like the idea of ruining a legacy. Like, his legacy is the king of all media, probably the greatest radio host of all time. But he's definitely damaged his legacy, and I don't think anyone cares anymore either way. There's the handful. What's her name? Marianne in Brooklyn. She'll be devastated when he ends, but most people have dropped off. It really isn't that big a news, other than it's Howard Stern, but nobody's been talking about Howard Stern for years. So, yeah, I think he probably calls it a day if they don't offer him a good enough contract.
And, Husey, to your point about Lars Ulrich, because I was listening to a little bit of that, I've heard Lars on the show many times, and Howard praises him as a great metal drummer, which is laughable. As yeah. Richard Christie works for Howard is 500 times better than Lars Ulrich would ever be.
You don't think Lars is any good?
Nobody does. Nobody. Metallica fans don't think he's a good drummer.
Dane?
No, I agree with Carl. He's not a good drummer. He's the drummer for Metallica. Like, I think it's part of why their early stuff is so legendary, is because his drumming is different and weird because he's not very good at it, but it works with James's riffs and all that.
The funny thing was at the Taylor Hawkins tribute concert, Lars was playing drums for Back in Black with Brian Johnson, and he fucked it up. And that's one of the most basic beats in the world.
Every AC/DC song is the most basic beat in the world.
So AC/DC stinks as well.
The drumming is so repetitive. I don't know how you sit through an entire concert. I like their songs, but after a while, you're like, "Oh, this tempo again? Cool."
I can't believe this, Phil. What's your take on the Stern stuff?
I just can't wait till he's on YouTube begging for super chats like me. Come on, back down to earth, Stern. Yeah, I mean, that's my take on. I can't add much more, you know. But yeah, he'll be, I don't see, like you said, he could just archive it all on YouTube. I think that'd be a good move too, but yeah, he's just, he needs to be one of these, I think, who was I listening to? Anthony Cumia was like, he's got to be the guy. Hey, I switch it on. I'm Howard Stern. Welcome to the show. You know, he just needs that in his life. So he'll be in some capacity somewhere broadcasting in some form or another.
I did hear Anthony Cumia telling a story about the one time he saw like Howard at play. He was playing 21 in like Atlantic City, and he was at the $5 table while Anthony was at like the $1,000 hand table. And I don't know, maybe Howard gets excitement about getting like small amounts of money. So maybe a $5 super chat will be right up his alley. That would be interesting to see. You know, some people just get excited by the video lottery aspect of game, you know. Get just the excitement of small dings and bells and whistles. So maybe he'll see those super chats and it'll just light up his life. That would be funny.
But the thing is, if Stern does go and he's now having to live off his meager savings that he has. Watch how quickly he becomes super Republican. Like, overnight, he'd be like, oh, what the fuck? All these goddamn Mexicans are taking my money.
Is that what Republicans say?
Is that what
Ireland thinks Republicans say? Fucking Mexicans take my money.
Well, they don't say Mexicans. It's another word for, I can't remember what they're called. But, and they don't say goddamn. But speaking of people being invaded, Echo, you're from shitty, stinking, pedophile factory England. Stern was really never as big over here as it was in the US, of course. But what do you think about this? Do you think that Stern goes YouTube, or do you think he makes a filter of his own cock?
No, you're absolutely bonkers. The next move for him, he's going to use this interest a little bit. You know, now people are actually talking about him again. To sign a contract for like 30, 40 million with like Netflix or Amazon. And he's going to do a terrible guest interview show with like really big stars that no one will watch. Similar to, you know, the Prince Harry and Merkel stuff where they got signed for a load of money to do nothing. Just so you could say you got them. That's what he's going to do. And then in 5 years time, he's going to do the YouTube thing where we go, oh my God, that's depressing.
I think it's very possible because David Letterman went that route after he left the talk show. He got a deal with Netflix interviewing celebrities, and Dave and Howard are pretty tight. They communicate quite a bit. So I could see that definitely coming to fruition.
Why is Netflix so willing to sign these huge contracts with people that have like no interest left in them? It is kind of bizarre because there's no way you can get your money back for signing someone like that.
Because they're not paying for it with their money. That's why they lose fucking money every goddamn year, and they don't give a shit. Yeah,
and international people like in dirty England or let's just say India, they just see the name and they think, oh wow, a Bradley Cooper cooking show. I've got to tune in. He did the voice in the fucking Guardians. That'll be great.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And that's why they did a film earlier this year that this. 11 minutes of this episode is better than a film called Havoc with Tom Hardy. Actual cheesy pizza is better than seeing Havoc. It's fucking terrible. Right, Ozzy?
Yes.
Speaking of films and Howard Stern, here's Tony from Hack the Movies. Carl, that's you, Lady K. What a great joke. Do you like Howard Stern's movie Private Parts? If so, there's a YouTube channel hosted by a New York lady called Kaylee who would love you to come on to review it to hear your thoughts on the movie over at Once Over with Kaylee. What do you say, Carl? Do you go on her show to do it?
I would definitely do that. I love doing Kaylee's show. But yes, I did go to Tony from Hack the Movies Studios a few years back, and we talked about Private Parts. Along with my buddy Doug from Good Times, Great Movies.
Do you mean this guy?
Hey, Carl. It's The Dark Knight Rises, Tony, from whatever my show is called. So anyway, I heard your dick smells. Have a great show.
That's the guy. That's what I was talking about.
He's a good kid. A lot.
He's
going to
make it in show business someday, I think.
I think that if he just needs to get more of a rub from Kaylee, until then he's fucked. But you were saying
we all want more rub from Kaylee.
Explain what you mean.
It's a sex joke, QZ. Come on, we all staring at her tits every WATP. Let's not be lying at this late hour.
We prefer it to be more blunt. You got to say stuff like this to her.
Go suck a dick.
You know, something nice. But you were mentioning him going to Netflix, Howard Stern. But the problem is, if he does, that's not going to cover up all his history. Like Letterman has his own Letterman has his own controversies. But he didn't like bring in. I think they were called whores to literally be laser pointed and judged and be like, "Oh, you need to tone up your legs here."
Well, not on the air, anyways.
They had him on, like, Pop Idol or whatever you call it, over X Factor on there. You know, massive family-friendly TV show is fine. It's all in the past. It's all forgiven. No one No one really cares anymore. It's all good.
Especially if you have the correct politics, they really forgive you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. I don't see anything he does now working because he's just changed as a human being, and he's not what made him popular. He's just another left-wing, pushing the left-wing talking points. He doesn't want to damage his image. He's become so image-focused. I can't see anything working for him going forward.
You know, a lot of people think that Marcy Turk is the person who ruined Howard Stern, but it might be Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel was the guy who started bringing him out to Hollywood, meeting all his famous friends, getting in the A-listers, going on vacations with A-listers and Gwyneth Paltrow and shit. And I think Jimmy showed him the way, like, here's how you toe the company line. Here's how you don't piss off any of the executives. And you can get invited to the parties. And you could be one of the it guys and have dinner parties with these assholes.
But that was exactly the...
Sorry, I was just going to say, how much worse would it actually be if he ended his contract and he went, I'm going to be the edgy, shocky, like, shock jock again. Everyone would be like, no, please. That's even worse than doubling down on it. So, yeah.
That would be good if he has like a talk show with a victim and her rapist or his rapist. Let's not be sexist here. Like, I think that it kind of like a blind date, but instead you've got to guess who's the rapist. See if you can remember, trace back the details. Echoes from England, he'd know about that. But the thing is, who was it was saying that he could have like a big name talk show on there? The problem is he already has that, where he has like, he had Bruce Springsteen on, and it almost ruined my fandom of Bruce Springsteen. In fact, I would even say, get ready to laugh for 20 minutes, everybody. It was boring in the USA. Get it?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. I'll think about it later and laugh out loud, probably.
Yeah.
Doesn't that say more, Cheesy?
Huh?
Like the fact that he's had all of these big stars on before. People like Netflix who maybe want these big people on will go, well, if we get him, he'll probably be able to get them to be interviewed again.
I shouldn't have said Bruce Springsteen or on Quad because, on the run, etc. But the thing is, but Netflix have done too many talk shows before and they just don't work. Like the Letterman one he had fucking, he had on Barack Obama on and... Believe it or not, they still didn't win the election. It doesn't matter anymore. So I think...
Hold on a second. I don't want to get into politics. I don't even know why we are. They had Barack Obama on and he didn't win the election? What was the election that Barack lost?
Might have been Joe Biden, right? Yeah. Might have been.
Wait a minute. He ran?
In the U.S., we always vote for black people as president. We never vote against them.
It's mandatory.
Yes.
Yeah. For reparations.
Yeah, that racism, that was bad stuff. Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
Really?
It was okay.
Incredible. Oh, Jesus. What about in Australia? Then they had slaves there, didn't they?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Hilarious slave jokes. Go.
Okay. What do you actually know?
Jimmy Kimmel, I mean, that is exactly the name I was thinking of because he has a very sordid history with the Man Show and doing blackface as Shaq, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, he got right in line. And if you see the way he talks about politics, that's how you get lockstep with the Democrats and then you get to stay on TV. It's almost like you're making a deal that you'll have the correct think. If you want to make a big...
You can watch him and Adam Carolla and watch their career trajectories and see this is the way you do it if you want all the wealth and fame and money.
This is
the way you do it if you want to maintain what you actually believe and keep your dignity and credibility.
Well, more on Adam Carolla soon. But the thing is, I can envision a Howard Stern and Jimmy Kimmel travel show on Netflix where they walk around all these war-torn countries holding each other's dicks while they're blocked by security and going, oh, this is terrible what's going on here. This is terrible. While they're green screened in to make it look like they actually went to fucking Africa when instead they were just hanging around on Epstein Island having a lovely blue cocktail. Right, Dean?
Yes.
Exactly. Wasn't he a notorious hermit who didn't leave his house like since?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I was like, that's a terrible example. You say
maybe they could buy Dana Plato's RV and cruise around the country in it.
Sounds sexy. But speaking of sexy, I've got to ask about the current hot story of the minute. This steamy relationship between Carmack and David Bowie lookalike Felicia. The only thing striking about her is how she handles other people's YouTube channels. She is unattractive. She's stupid, unfunny, and I think her cunt smells. I did find this nice photograph of them on their date, of course, so we can have a good laugh at them. There we are. Carmack and Felicia. Hobos. I beg your pardon?
Couple lesbians, you're right.
Good point. There we go. How do we get it down there? There we go. So
which one's
the
short one?
Which one's it says Private Dane from Perth, Australia. Dane Galloway. It's his real name. If anyone wants to Google him, his Facebook comes right up and you can find all his private information, photographs, and contacts with other family members. And you can check out their pages too. But I've got to say that this story between Carmack and Felicia sounds like the most fucking Elijah Woody, John Travolta cover-up that the Dabbleverse has seen so far. Are you really trying to tell me that he's apparently never had sex, so the first thing he does is go and meet that and look at her, and the first thing he says is, I've got to eat her box. That's my move. That's what I want to do to a woman that looks like that after they've been traveling all fucking day. I bet you that'll be lots of fun. I think this is an obsessive attempt to try to make up for the fact that Felicia's addicted to pissing off Pat Dixon. And unfortunately, he seems to have taken the bait a little bit. But, Carl, what do you think about the latest fascination between these two?
I'm still on the fence if they had intercourse at all, because it seemed like their stories changed a few times. And the one that really threw me off was when they were wondering if they did have sex on Friday or was it Saturday? This is supposedly the first time they did it. Like, it might have been Saturday. Like, it was just this past weekend. What the fuck are you talking about? And I think even Kevin asked the question, were you guys drunk or something? Like, no, we didn't drink at all. Look at the, was it Friday or was it Saturday? Well, neither of you know the answer. And so they had these weird stories. The thing that I really had a problem with was Felicia going into these details about his performance and like what they did. It's one thing to come on a show and just be like, yeah, we hooked up over the weekend. We stayed in the same hotel and we're fucking all weekend. That's fine. But then to be like, oh, yeah, and then he went down on me on this day and he spent this much time and then he didn't ejaculate after we did this thing. It's like, hey, buddy, shut the fuck up. Why are you telling people details about our sex life on Kevin's show? What is it? Who is this for?
Now, that doesn't make any sense either. That's the first thing I thought. Like you said, they were like, oh, Saturday and then Sunday we did it. And come to find out they had sex every day, allegedly. Wouldn't that be the answer instantly?
Well, right,
oh, we had sex night, every single day, like well, every
then
night.
Then we find out Thursday night she did go down on him, even though they claimed there wasn't even kissing. So I don't even understand how any of this played out.
Yeah, I'm going to call him bullshit. Dane, what do you think about this whole story, this gross, disgusting slime pack story?
My first thought is, isn't it funny what people do when... Or sorry, dummies and losers will do when Kevin Brennan waves a few hundred bucks in front of them. I agree with Carl's take. I can't believe that you're willing to like humiliate yourself and give all these details about it just to make Kevin happy. It does all sound bullshit. Like Carl said, they're talking about not being drunk, but then Carmack's got whiskey dick and he can't come. And I mean, that's a very funny part of the story and good on you, Carmack, for letting that happen. But to be the guy that can't come and beat his dick so hard that he fucking broke it or damaged it, like that's bonkers. So I don't buy any of it. It's just silliness for Kevin Brennan's amusement.
And to piss off Pat Dixon, which I definitely think both of those people have motivation to do that.
Yeah,
but luckily now Pat Dixon gets to have sex with Taz. So everybody wins, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
And you guys are aware of Felicia striking my channel for
watching about that.
I thought that was funny as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
I told her the email.
It's not all bad, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened? Do you have a copyright strike on your channel now, your first one?
Correct. And it's from watching a five-year-old video of her stand-up, not really even to listen to the jokes, but just to make fun of how she looked.
I saw that on Hackverse today, yeah. I can't believe that would warrant a copyright strike. You didn't even really play it very long. You kind of talked over her and stuff. So are you going to fight it?
Yeah, the day that it happened, I counter-struck, I guess. Good. Is what I did.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Striking channels is such fucking bullshit. If you got a problem with someone, take it up with them.
But Carly,
she's known for taking down Pat Dixon's channel in the first place as well. And we know she's struck other channels too. So she's just one of these people.
But is that the sort of thing though, Carly, that makes you think that she shouldn't be covered? Because I know I had that photograph of her and Carmack out on the date, and they look very nice and happy together.
Even funnier the second time, I got to say.
Isn't it? But the thing about it is, do you think she should always be someone that's completely ignored? Because even dumb, born fucking Kevin Brennan has to know that by the way, Kevin Brennan went from writing a TV show with Norm MacDonald to fucking going on tour with Louis C.K., to now he's hosting a dating game for retards. that's what he's become.
But that's even his best, by the way. It's usually worse than that.
Yeah, oh my God. I just think that this is shit. But Echo, what's your take on all this? Because you were away in Africa for real during this whole thing.
Yes. I've got a separate theory about Karmic later on, but for this specifically, I think it's just a case of this will be win-win for both of us. You're getting trolled a lot by people like Quadfather calling you gay, and it's really annoying you. I really want to stick it to my ex from five fucking years ago and become remotely relevant again in the Dabbleverse. So hey, we'll meet up, we'll have fun, we'll chill out, we'll like be mates and that. But afterwards, we can go on saying we like did all this crazy sex. So you're definitely straight and you're definitely, not a crazy bitch for sure. So, yeah, I think it's a lie, but to benefit them both, just to kind of get a bit of attention, what have you.
I'd say so. Phil, you're relatively new to this whole Dabbleverse thing.
Sure.
When you see this type of Felicia and Karmic shit going on, do you just think that it makes the whole thing look bad, or do you think it's actually kind of a sexy and you're wagging off with your camera off?
I was just gonna say, you know me, Husey, I love a good cucking. It's content. I mean, at the end of the day, that's how 99% of everybody online views each other anyway. So people are free to make choices, and it's humiliating, but it won't be the first or last time somebody humiliates themselves online, Hughes, you know that.
I've never done it in my life. But the thing is, it's like the whole Ashley and Mr. Kill Everything stuff, that was such a car crash that they ended up getting a sequel made to it. And it's this Karmic, and it's just a thing like, who the fuck is next?
I never heard of it.
Well, speaking of which, this is a thanks for the dough bucks from Dan from Nice Podcast, Stupid. Quad, any rumors, any truth to the rumors about you, Shmuel, and Crumb?
Took me a second to figure out, but yeah, I guess Karmic had a wild gay porn thought about me, Shmuel, and Pat Dixon, Crumb. He's really good with like fantasizing these elaborate gay sex scenes like between a bunch of men, so... awkward that we call him gay, isn't it? What, coincidental, maybe?
He's on
the latest one.
I heard something porn?
Today. It was shit porn that his latest fantasy.
It's disgusting, but whatever, man.
It's creative.
If that's how he wants to see all of us guys getting together and doing that kind of stuff, that's his fantasy. That's fine.
But the thing is,
I'm not here to judge.
Yeah, and not that it actually matters, because nobody really gives a shit if somebody's gay. But if you're gay in the Dabbleverse, you don't have to pretend to do these stories of, oh, yeah, we went to the hotel and I at her box and I didn't have to pinch my nose the whole time. And I looked at her attractive face during sex because she's so good looking and her jokes are even better than her tits and all that stuff. Like, if he is doing this to cover up, it's silly. Just be gay and have a good time doing it. Right, dude, bros?
Doesn't it Carmack looks very confused about everything. He can't make sense of anything in his life. He doesn't know what he's doing and why he's doing it. So he might not even know he's gay yet. We might be the ones who are telling him.
Well, Carmack, if you're watching this, you're gay. But earlier, Carl, you mentioned Adam Carolla, and I was just listening to him earlier, and he had an episode with a guy whose surname is Kane, and his first name is Dane, Aussie guy. What do you think about that? Another Dane on there. It was so shit that I actually finally unsubscribed from the Adam Carolla show, because all he does now is fucking... is it right-wing this and cancel culture and snowflakes and liberals that?
Dean Cain's going to be a terrible interview. I didn't click on it.
Oh, yeah. No, but I'm talking... This was Carolla. Carolla didn't even let him fucking speak half the time. He just sat there and made a couple of Superman puns. One of Dean Cain's many successful roles in his career. But the thing about... when you look back to about 10 years ago or maybe more, it used to be Joe Rogan and Adam Carolla as the top podcast in the world. And then Carolla started dropping in the charts. So he started releasing single episodes in two parts so that it would immediately double his downloads, all that shit. Then he started firing all his staff. And now he's actually, years and years ago, he made a film called Walk Hard about a comedian going broke who had to go back on the road, who's going through a divorce, all this stuff. Now it's actually happening to him. He's doing the Dry Bar stand-up comedy special. Talk to me, Carl, from your sexual position. What do you think about the downfall of Adam Carolla?
I think he's doing all right. Getting rid of Bald Brian was a pretty big shock. Bald Brian had been with him forever, and everyone loves Brian. So I do think that was a move. He needed to cut costs because he was paying for his divorce, which probably was not cheap. But I'll tell you something that Adam's been doing lately that is fantastic. I don't see anyone else doing this. Because the neighborhood next to where he lives completely burned down, and it's because of mismanagement in the government, he's started this vlog series, and he's got drones out there, and he's interviewing people, and he's showing the progress they're making and the devastation and showing how inept this government is at rebuilding. And that's been fascinating. He does a great job with the vlog.
But he's the perfect example of how, like earlier you were saying about how Jimmy Kimmel.
I'll tell you this, Yuzi. I made fun of Adam Carolla back in like 2016, 2017 on WATP, and I was a big fan. I used to listen quite often. He's very repetitive. I can tune out a Carolla for months at a time, get back in, and I haven't missed anything. He's still talking about the race he won or, you know, whatever nonsense. Like, okay.
Phil, you of course work in Hollywood as a big time Hollywood guy. That's what I tell everybody. Are you even sort of into this Carolla stuff?
Well, I mean, yeah, I used to listen to Adam Carolla a lot, but I haven't recently. I have been seeing Dean Cain catching a lot of flack online though for his takes on Superman, but no, I'm not familiar with the interview here.
Yeah, no, Dean Cain's a fucking... I only found out he's actually Japanese. Did you know that?
I had no idea. When I heard that he was discriminated against or something, I was like, I just thought that was a white guy, really? Okay.
Yeah. It's so Sushi
Man, that was the name. I never heard of that.
That's racist. We didn't go for that here.
No, but not cool.
In edit, and I will call him that in the intro. But Dean, what do you think about this Carolla? Do you think he's a perfect example of how going overly right-wing can actually kind of backfire against all this woke liberal shit and actually be just as boring no matter what?
Well, of course. I mean, going extreme either way is immediately you're alienating half of the population. You're ruling those people out. Well, not necessarily half, but yeah, I don't think you want to go extreme either way. I think it's one of those, like, he's been in the game for so long like Carl says, it does. You do become repetitive. Everyone's heard all your stories, and yeah, I just think everyone has their time, and it might be his time to make his way back down the other side of the hill.
Yeah. By the way, I'm not trying to be gross or anything, but there's 69 people watching live.
Gunfights!
Thank you. But with the Echo, do you even bother with Corolla?
No, I've not watched a minute of Corolla. Maybe accidentally if Carl was like covering at some point, and I'd be like, I don't really know this person. So yeah, no, unfortunately nothing to add as always.
Yeah, well, I just think that with the Corolla, we're going to see him start becoming the guy who starts doing like the lunchtime dinner shows, and he's going on these like preacher tours. And I just think it's unbelievable to see this downfall. And really, he kind of really fucked up to the point that he had to fire Paul Bryan while he's in the middle of intense brain tumor treatment. So now Paul Bryan has to figure out a way to pay for this stuff. And I just think it just wasn't worth it. They should have stuck around. They should have toughed it out. And but Carl, just sort of wrap up the Corolla thing. Would you say that his downfall is his own fault, or do you think it's an unfortunate sign of the times?
Yeah, I guess I'm not familiar with his downfall. You're telling me he's had his downfall. He does live shows. He's got dates all the time. He does his podcast. He does like six different podcasts. He still does the show with Dr. Drew. He does tons of shit. I don't see that he's had his downfall.
Are you trying to get Corolla on the show?
Yeah. I want to get a Corolla show.
Yeah, that would be pretty good, to be honest. Yeah. Speaking of downfalls, ever heard of Greg Opie Hughes?
I'm familiar.
But I got to say, though, do you
babble,
think that Carl...
Babble, babble.
Do you think, Carl, at some point, that the roasting has gone too far? Because I used to think, oh, Opie's this guy from the radio that's got this shitty live stream. Now it's as if a homeless guy stole a laptop,
yeah,
and he's living in an abandoned factory. And like, I don't even know if Opie has an indoors of his house, because he's always outside. Like, there's no evidence of him living inside a place with a roof. And he looks like he doesn't sleep. There's all the evidence that his family aren't around. He doesn't wear the ring or anything like that. Basically, do you think, Carl, that even though you've built a few houses from it, do you think that the Opie roasting has gone too far?
I love that you're blaming me for his mental illness. This is not my fault. I have nothing to do with the fact that Greg has had a downfall and is miserable in his life. You could tell from his live streams. You can tell from his friend group. Holy shit. Those rejects he hangs out with at Gebhard's. It's incredible.
Yeah. But it's funny. No, go ahead.
No, I wanted to ask a follow-up to Carl, because it's sort of on the same theme. I wanted to ask you, like, a few things over the last year or two. Like, I feel like younger Carl, yeah, Carl from 2 or 3 years ago, perhaps wouldn't have been as comfortable with. Like, you know, the thing used to be observe and report. Mm-hmm. Now it's more like observe, engage, record if you can, and then report. You know, and like the Opie's family stuff, like, I feel you wouldn't have touched that in the past, because Opie doesn't really like to bring his family into it. I was just wondering, do you feel in yourself that you've sort of shifted your moral line over the years?
Well, we certainly speculate on things based on the evidence we see from the shows. And my co-host Adam Bush definitely speculates on the family and what's going on with the wife and whether they're still around. And we joke that maybe they're dead, buried underneath the house in the Hamptons. We don't know. But honestly, Opie's been a lot more open about his family life and mm-hmm. what's going on with his family. So I've been actually reacting to that more than I used to in the past, because Opie didn't bring up his kids and didn't bring up his wife. And it's almost odd. Again, it's almost a clue into his, no, see, the family's still around. I bring them up regularly. And he never used to do that.
Mm.
It's funny you say that, because I was listening to him this morning, and that's exactly what happened. First of all, he started talking about some lady that, oh, if I ran into this lady now, I would love to date her, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, interesting.
But my wife and kid who are here, it's almost like he was talking to you directly because you have been bringing it up. It was that out of place in the conversation he was having. It was almost a reaction to you.
That's funny. I'll have to check that out.
But I got to say, though, sort of not in defense of Lady K against Dane's evil question, but it's
I'm
not
trying
so
to
much...
get you clipped again, Husey. You get clipped every time I'm on this show, so I'm just trying to help you out.
But it's not so much the Carl sitting there going, let's fucking trash his cunt kids or anything like that.
Right.
But it's sort of like with Opie, it's to see what he's become. Like, all of us used to envy the fuck out of old Greg and think, fuck, I would love to do his job. I would love to be able to go to get paid all that money to have all these laughs that he's getting. And now he's like celebrating fucking getting the $2 super chats, or what do you call them, stars on Facebook. What does that even convert to anyway?
1 penny for every star you get on Facebook. We
wish Jesus Christ. Yeah, and I don't know. And I think that Opie is sort of broke him that he's realized everybody else has moved on. Like, everybody's moved on with Norton's like having these amazing trips with Black Sabbath and going on vacation and doing this and doing that. Anthony's consistently fucking having the time of his life yelling about black people and all kinds of things like this.
And Anthony's has a radio career. He was just doing mornings last week. He was filling in for one of the guys.
Oh, really?
It's incredible what he's doing.
Brian Kilmeade, this week. Yep.
Yeah. But what do you think, Ackle? Like, when you see this Opie thing, do you think that he's like an easy target, or you just think everyone should get it?
I don't know. I feel sorry for him because he's got a bit of awareness, a tiny bit more than people like Stuttering. Not much, but a tiny bit more, where he realizes as much as he would benefit massively from having people like Cardiff and like Tukey come in and kind of put life into it, bring an audience of people actually interested, he's like, but they are going to be taking a mick out of me. I can't really trust anyone. So he just uses those idiots in real life, as Carl so politely said earlier, to help him at a bar.
And not to cut you off, but I just wanted to circle back on something that Aussie guy was saying, because it is true. Observe and report was always the motto, and things have changed. And I think one of the big reasons for that is I used to make fun of people and they would ignore me. And now I get like demand letters and cease and desists in the mail. And it's hard not to comment on things when people are actively trying to litigate against you and talking all sorts of shit about you on their stream. So it definitely has gotten more of a back and forth than it used to be.
But do you think that it's just basically a continuous downslope for him, Carl? Because there's so many times Opie could have maybe tried to do a show with Jim Florentine or maybe tried to do something regularly with the fucking Jackie the Joke Man. But instead, he just wants to continuously do this zero-effort, low-rent stream at the most... And not only that, the most awkward times around. Like, he'll do a live stream at like fucking 8:30 in the morning. That's not even 8 when people can maybe listen on their drive. By 8:30, you're already in the office sort of getting ready for your day. Nobody's getting to watch this stuff, and I think it's sad. But what do you think, Phil, baby?
Yeah, I mean, well, you said, does it just continue to go down and down? I don't know. Like, maybe he should just start leaning into it more. But I mean, how many times are people going to say that? You know, ultimately, yeah, does it go downhill from here? Sure. I think he's just on the lolcow path. You know, he Brendan Schaubed himself or Greg Opie Hughes himself. It's becoming known as that now, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think he should team up with Stern. That's my idea.
Thanks for the talk, Mark, from JMO Quad. We will avenge that strike. So there you go, Quad.
Yes. Yes,
you know, to that point you just made, Husey, and this is something that Anthony has said many times, is
the
that
Ant-Man.
The Ant-Man himself, is that Opie puts zero effort into it, and he wouldn't team up with Florentine or try to put on a real show, because then people could judge him and compare it to other people who are putting on real shows. So the way he's doing his show now, he can just go, yeah, you know, I could beat Joe Rogan if I put effort into it, but I'm not even putting effort into it. Well, isn't that a convenient thing to be able to say?
Yeah, it's a cop-out.
It's a total cop-out.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is the pressure's off now. Like, everyone is mocking you. Like, so you can just go for it. Like, the Tukey and Cardiff thing, he was laughing and smiling and having a good time.
They were
like,
dancing together.
Happy.
It was insane.
Yeah. It's wild that he just doesn't take the leap. And he would start getting a bit of income if he teamed up with Tukey and Cardiff, for sure.
And sort of leading into the next question, that when Ozzy Osbourne died, Opie sent
he did?
Norton. But Ozzy or Kelly Osbourne's music career, each one. But seriously, guys, let's hold the laughter for afterwards.
Right.
And but when he died, he sent Norton a pretty nice message saying, "I know how much that meant," like all that sort of shit, which was a pretty nice thing to do. Like, he didn't have to do it. And there was, for the first time, as far as I know, that Opie and Jim had publicly commented or interacted since Norton left the amazing Opie and Jim show that everybody loves so much. But I guess, sort of leading off that question, though, Carl, you were mentioning that about Kumia doing the radio and stuff. Why do you think that Norton and Kumia don't then go off to do a more regular show together, whether it's a podcast or a stream? Because every time they do interact, whether it's the Ant-Man's radio show or they go on Norton's podcast, it's either funny as fuck, like funnier than the most regular BYB episode, or do you think that there's just those huge numbers online, more than what they would usually get? So why do you think they aren't doing something more regular, baby?
Well, every time they're in the same place, they typically do a show together. So when Anthony travels to New York, Jim's coming on WABC, or Ant's going on Jim's podcast. I think it has more to do with just Anthony's got a whole different life now. You know, he moved down to South Carolina and he's got the house and all the land, and him and Missy just enjoying that lifestyle, where Jim lives the opposite way. So I think that probably has more to do with it than anything else.
How do you mean opposite? Go into graphic detail.
Okay, well, some people have a vagina, and other people have the opposite thing.
Cunt?
Yeah, I think Nicky Norton's actually doing a transition. They quit doing Jim and Nicky, that show.
Wait, what do you mean she's doing a transition?
Yeah.
I think she's chopping it off.
I don't. Does Jim know about this? He wouldn't want that.
Well, I swore that she was talking about having the bottom surgery done, and that she's going through all these mental issues. I pulled up the story and I just never got around to it. But yeah, they quit the Jim and Nikki show. Like, it's on hiatus at least.
But then if she has no dick, that means Norton's just married to a woman. And what's he going to sit on when he's relaxing at home?
No idea.
Like who doesn't, after a hard day's work, like to go home and suck their wife's dick? That's just the regular blue collar 9-to-5 dream. And but they could even at least stream in with each other with modern technology. Yeah, do you think that would work out, Ozzy?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. We're just talking about Nicky Norton's dick, and now I'm
getting real excited over there. What's going on?
Yeah. I'm all worked up. I don't know what to say.
Was their fight real? I saw they had like an online fight or something. Was that a real
Norton and Nikki?
Yeah, Nikki had like a meltdown on like an Instagram.
Yeah, it did seem kind of real. Like she's going through something mentally.
I'm personally shocked that a trans person would have mental health problems. That's going to change my whole view on the whole community. Yeah.
It's rare.
Yeah, but the thing about that is that, of course, they're going to fucking argue, because she didn't know anybody in New York before she moved there. And then when Norton quit the radio, he's sort of seeing her more often. And the worst thing that can happen to any relationship is spending time together, because then you want to fucking kill each other. And it wouldn't shock me if Norton kicked her in the balls during an argument. You know what I'm saying, Eccle?
I 100%. Understand what you're saying, Husey. I can relate with my wife, who has a massive hog as well. So yes,
nice.
I
understand.
Wait, she kicks you in the balls, or you kick her in the balls?
Bit of both, Carl. Nice. To be honest,
good.
Yeah,
that's how you keep a relationship going.
At exactly the same time, it takes a lot of planning, but it's really funny when it does happen. But yeah, I say, I think that if Norton and Cormier even did like a once a month joint live stream, they could do really well. And just say they needed a producer guy on. There's this lovely little guy called Eric Nagel who knows all about that type of shit. Get him to help sort of co-produce it or produce it from behind the scenes. And maybe they'll need a guest to come on here and there. And why not Opie? That'll be a great way to do a reunion show every once in a while. They could talk about old clips. It blows my fucking mind that every couple of weeks you see it's the Jason Alexander Seinfeld show where it's the fucking the two women off The Office doing the show, and they all go through each episode and talk about it. All they've got to do, Opie and Anthony, is take one episode at random and be like, okay, we're going to break down the fucking, what would you call the guy from Saturday Night, Joe Piscopo. We're going to break that down.
Huge
and that could, yeah, and that could be a fucking, an episode or a whole series of episodes where they break down each clip. All this live streaming. I got coffee and I saved the kid and I didn't like what they got me back. I'm like, no, nobody gives a fuck. Talk about Opie and Anthony. Get it done. And I think this is the way forward. Right, Opie ladies?
Opie won't do that, though. He has like this ego mental illness that he can't get over, to where I just don't think that will happen. But you're right. I mean, he should do that, but I just don't. I don't see him being willing to do that ever.
So, Husey, you initially asked the question to some of the people here, if you think that those two will do a show together, Jim and Anthony. What we actually covered by talking about Nikki and Opie is exactly why they're not going to do a regular show together, because it just causes shit, causes aggro, and they get the best of both worlds right now. They, like you say, they always fucking meeting each other anyway. Fucking Roachy, distracting me. They're already doing shows together once a month anyway, so who cares?
All right, Husey, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
State of the Dabbleverse. Are we on an incline, a decline? What's going on with the Dabbleverse in August of 2025?
Carl, you're an excellent podcaster because that sets me up to my next and final topic. There you go. You mentioned the decline of the Dabbleverse, so now it's got to the point.
No. That's not what I said. Fucking guy.
So you said that's what it will sound like when I clip this and it starts off with that. So, Carl, you were mentioning earlier about your distrust of non-whites and the decline of the Dabbleverse and how you hit your wife and you'll do it again.
I remember, yeah.
We've now got to this point where the big story at the minute is, so I don't even know the full fucking story, but Ashley Cummings, the sister of the legendary comedian Whitney, so many great jokes. We could sit here for hours talking about all the funny stuff she says. Women are notoriously funny, and she is proof. She's also a really good actor. She was in this great film called Studio 666, the hilarious and terrifying Foo Fighters horror comedy that was so great that Taylor Hawkins killed himself. This was because he knew we can never top this. There's no album, nothing we could do. It's just a glorious time to be a fan.
This might be the worst answer to my question possible. Where are we going? Yes, what are we doing?
So you were saying that every show in the Dabbleverse is bad right now, right? So we get this, and that's so this fucking woman Ashley is now, for some reason, and I want to ask Dean about this and Eccle, and maybe even a little bit of Quad. Everybody hates her for no logical reason, and now the fucking Kevin Brennan feud that's going on. Like, none of this shit makes any sense. Dean, dude, why don't you like Ashley? It's because you were told to.
It's not even that I don't like Ashley. I don't know Ashley. I got no feelings about it. She started doing a show with Kiki. I've been covering Kiki for months. I tuned into their first episode and went, oh my God, these two are dumb. This is amazing. There's so much stuff to clip and make fun of. That's all it's been for me. But you just mentioned this feud with Kevin Brennan. If you're going to go on Jake Hudson's stream and start screaming about how you're going to call the owner of Google to take down Kevin Brennan's channel, you probably got to get some hate from people, right?
You don't think that
does anyone believe she's Larry really good Page? Friends with Larry Page anyway?
It doesn't make any sense.
Does anyone believe that?
No.
Sorry.
But Carl, when you see this stuff with Brennan and the state of his show, like his decline, as you were saying earlier on, Carl, his decline is the worst thing you've ever seen. Like, what the fuck has happened to him? How did he get to this position? And like I always like Stevie Lou. I don't get the hate that he gets, but it's almost like he brings Stevie on simply for him to be a target for these fucking weirdos to endlessly send them like insulting comments. But what do you think about that, Carl? Love, Lady K.
So Kevin Brennan is mentally ill. He has mental illness. And the reason why we know that is because he was pulled over by the police for speeding. He wasn't doing a show and he acted like a complete lunatic. And we got to hear the audio of that. And that is what Kevin Brennan is. He's a lunatic. He can't interact with people. That's why he doesn't go to comedy clubs. He's pissed everyone off. He's afraid of people. He's afraid of going out and being confronted with someone. He needs Stevie Lou around him. I think he's just a mentally ill guy who's in decline.
Yeah, but I just think that with his show, to see how those numbers have dropped. I remember during the pandemic, on a bad day, he would have like 2,000 live viewers. Now, if he gets anything over 1,000, you could see how paranoid he gets. And he starts blaming fucking Shuley. And people like this dickhead Quad, who are obsessed with pushing this fucking agenda that Shuley knew that fucking... that Shuley was a PDF, all this stupid shit. I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on in the Dabbleverse. Everybody's insane. I despise everyone, especially Quad and especially Dane. What do you think about that, Quad?
What do I think about what you think? I don't really care. But yeah, great question. Thanks for the
He can't ask a question. He can't answer a question. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, back to Ashley, though. Like, I do think a lot of the hatred she gets is from telling people what they can and can't do. Like, you can't come into the Dabbleverse and instantly be like, dude, you can't take pictures of me. You can't take video of me. Take that down or else. And she's doing it to Kevin Brennan now, too. Like, oh, I'll have my best friend, Larry Page. He'll be taking your channel down. The funniest part about that whole thing is that Kevin actually went and took all the live videos down off of his channel. So she did actually get somewhat of a reaction after he was like blustering and showing off on Twitter. Later that night, he actually went and took all the live shows down. Because apparently he was worried that she might actually know Larry Page. So when you say like mental illness, all of us would laugh at her and be like, yeah, whatever, and move on. But it clicked somewhere in his head later that night. He was like, oh shit, maybe I better go take down all my live shows. So
he's paranoid for sure.
Yeah.
It's because he doesn't leave his fucking house. He just sits there all day thinking, observing what everybody else is doing. And he's driven himself nuts. But what do you think, Ackle? Do you think that this whole Ashley shit is Brennan's low point?
No, I don't think this will even be remembered in 3 months' time when you think about KB and some of his low points. But what I will say, my main issue with Ashley, my only issue with Ashley, is that she got Roachie to do yoga, and that's just fucked up. So yeah, that's my main issue, because that's...
Yeah. But like, Brennan didn't even go to his own fucking brother's funeral. but he will go see Dirty Work with Stevie Lou. I love Norm MacDonald and all that stuff, but I would assume that going to your own brother's funeral is kind of a bigger deal than seeing a director's cut. What do you think, Phil?
Sure, I agree with your last statement, I guess.
But that being said,
he watched the video from the funeral on his show, though. Isn't that a nice homage to your dead brother?
Well, he sniped it. He sniped his dead brother's
funeral. He sniped it. Awesome.
I don't think anyone in the family wants to see him. I think he's probably doing them all a favor.
Yeah, probably.
Including Neil, the more famous brother, indeed.
Well, what have you heard about the behind the scenes, Carl? We know you've got the scoop. Let's go.
What are we talking about?
Now you were telling us behind the scenes that you have all this inside info on Kevin Brennan that you're going to dox him tonight on WATP?
No, this little piggy is where we're going to do that.
Oh, excellent.
4 p.m. Eastern. Nobody likes Onion's channel.
Definitely. But I just think that this Ashley stuff with Brennan, I can't believe it's actually happening. Like how the fuck, what the fuck was she, is wrong with her? Why was she on Jake Hudson's show? Like, why would you use that as your platform to announce your plans, to fucking hack into the YouTube data system to erase channels? Because why the fuck is she even angry with Brennan in the first place? I don't even know what the fuck's going on. Dean, fill me in, baby.
Well, Brennan didn't pay her the same amount as he paid her the first time. Maybe didn't even pay her at all when she went on MLC. But the overall answer is she's dumb. We played a clip of Ashley Akeke a couple of weeks ago where 8+5 took her 3 beats to get to 13. And then she did 9+9=19. So she's just a dumb person. Simple as that.
Everybody goes on Jake's show, by the way. Like, it's a big platform, man. Felicia was on there. Kevin Brennan's been on there. Bob Levy's been on. Everyone's been on.
Adam Bush Jake's was show. On there.
Exactly.
Nice. He doesn't do any shows.
Well, I can't stand Jake. He weirds me out. But yeah, I just think, who do you think's going to be Brennan's next feud? Because he needs a feud at all times. Like, he can't do stuff like leave the. Do you think that's happening?
I mean, it's set up to, whether they bite on it, that's up to Mersh, really, but it seems that way.
Well, in that instance, I'd have to go with Mersh because I don't think Brennan really has it. All he really does is go, "You think I don't care?" And that's basically his entire comeback. And then he gets all these big fucking super chats of people going, "You get him, Kevy, you're the man." And he's never going to get well. He's a sick man. And it's actually kind of funny to see. But what will be funny to see is this little piggy tonight, or whatever you said, point double point. Carl, why don't you give the plugs for all your links, which will, of course, be found down below in the description box.
WhoAreThese.com is the best place to go. There's a link to our live show that's coming up. We're going to be performing at Chrissy Mayer's Content Hotel in a theater at the Villa Roma Resort. And that's going to be me with Anthony Cumia and Adam Bush and producer Chris and the whole gang performing live. So check that out. You can get a link at WhoAreThese.com.
Not the Isotopes again, right?
Not the Isotopes. The Isotopes are performing
tomorrow.
Thank God. We're opening for Joan Jett tomorrow. So no.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, congrats, man. That's pretty cool, actually.
Are you going to have sex with her?
only if she insists.
Yeah. And even if you don't, just say that you did and use the exact Felicia story.
No, I'm actually going to use the stuttering John Kate Meany story, where I'm just going to imply that it happened and I stayed at their place and pants were off. And
can you actually do that? So actually put out the video going, "I had a great time with Joan and
could you imagine see her again, that's hopefully next Devil Verse storyline, me fucking Joan Jett.
Yes, might as well.
What do you think about Kate Meany being all upset that you and Shuley didn't pay for the tapes, the audio tapes from the phone calls?
Is that a new thing that he's doing?
She said that. Kate Meany said you guys didn't pay her, and she's all pissed off about it.
Oh, really? Oh, that's funny. I can't tell you the communication that goes on behind the scenes with her. It's all insane. But all right. When did that happen? Why don't you come out and say that?
Maybe a week ago or so.
Oh, interesting. I've not heard about
it. Well, I
reported it, so of course nobody heard it.
Right. Can we get that going, that Carl banged Joan Jett, just to see how Brennan will react to it, because he will believe it. Everybody who's watching this or listening to it, just tweet out, "Holy shit, I can't believe Carl banged Joan Jett."
I don't know how she's so hot at like 70 or whatever still. She's looks good, man.
It's because she's a rock and roll chick, and rock and roll's cool. But speaking of cool, Phil, what's all the plugs you've got there, my love?
I have two channels, youtube.com/@PhilMarksOut, and which is like new. And I also host a live pro wrestling comedy talk show type deal. And that's at youtube.com/@ProWrestleClips and Times. And thanks for having me, Husey.
Very welcome. Danny Dean, I'm potentially seeing you again this weekend for a supposed Get My Go reunion, but you never know these days. What plugs do you have, Dean from Perth?
Yeah, United States of Australia on YouTube. We're live every Sunday morning at 9:30 in the morning, where we do a lot of Steel Toe, Kiki, Gino, Kiki and Ashley. And I wanted to say it was nearly 12 months ago that I was on this show, Husey, with yourself to talk boxing with Aaron Imholt. And in the aftermath, Aaron was mocking me about my lack of monetization and all that. We've now reached the point in under 12 months, Aaron's numbers have come down. My numbers have gone up. We are so close to overtaking Aaron's numbers. And just because he cares so much about numbers, help us out. Get us above Aaron Imholt's numbers. Get us to beating Steel Toe Morning Show. That's what I'm looking for. Go hit like, subscribe on United States of Australia on YouTube.
Yeah, and just fucking subscribe. I'm subscribed to about 700 YouTube channels. Just subscribe. It's free. You don't have to pay. You don't even have to watch the fucking thing. Just subscribe, and it will help people down the line. Eckel, what plugs do you have?
Yep, you can see me live 3:30 Eastern every Saturday and every Sunday 2:00 Eastern, where we do our Joey C Point Double Point. Do you like that name? It's quite inventive, right? But yes, please do follow me as well. It will really annoy someone very important in the Doubleverse, so please follow me as well for the same reasons. Thanks.
And Quad, before you go whack off to the idea of Carl with his tongue up Joan Jett's fart box, what plugs do you have for everybody?
Yeah, check us out, BYB on YouTube, at BYB _POD. Come give us a follow. We'll be live tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern. Check it out.
Excellent.
And real quick before we go, Doom in the chat. Yeah, I would like those details. I'm not even familiar with this. So please reach out to me. Let me know.
There you go, Doom. We've got some dirty scoop for us, and I can get that fucking comment.
Why is Kate talking about this now? How long ago did we do Dabble House?
Because
I think he disappeared for a long time. Mm. I mean, I was there at the same conversation. That's how I know. Okay. Just FYI. But yeah.
Yeah, because she's a young...
She said she watches everything. She's lurking out there, but she's not coming back to do shows. Okay. Yeah, exactly. She probably could be watching this right now. But yeah, she was just complaining that you guys all profited so much off of those tapes, and she got nada for it.
Well,
so
wait till the lawsuit comes in. I don't think she's going to want to be a part of that.
Yeah. So just be careful, pal. You don't want to get your phone calls recorded, all right? Just take precautions in this. Yes.
Good call. Yeah. And maybe it's just her nose is hungry. So that's us. Thanks for everybody. Don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe to everybody's YouTube and spam the comment section. Bye.
And if you leave me now, you take away the biggest part of me. Ooh, baby, please don't go.
Okay, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Echo. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Phil. And of course, thank you, Quad, whose real name is Derek. So that is a doxing. You've been doxed, Quad. What do you think about that? At the time of recording this, I have not gone to see Oasis. I don't think I'm going to do anything until I have seen Oasis, which is on the 17th. Hopefully I don't have a heart attack or have one of my numerous injuries before then. But it's finally happened. Oasis is here. I don't know what I'm going to do next, but there will be a lot more episodes coming. Excuse me. I had all kinds of stuff planned, which has been set back due to, well, setbacks, but we're all ready to go now. Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Liam and Noel, for reforming, and it is Husey. Bye-bye.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.